I had a quick devotional thought for us before we break for class. If you would, you got your Bible, I want you to see something in Ezekiel chapter 22. Now, I have heard from, usually it's from the older folks, and I've heard a lot of the older folks talk about the old-timey revivals, right? And in various ways, oh, we used to have such big revivals, right? And lots of times they'd be intense, and oh, it'd go on for days, and the preacher would get in there, and he'd preach for hours and hours, and nobody cared, and we just loved revivals, right? And I guess along the way, something's occurred where revivals don't really happen much anymore, at least in that sense. And you know, I don't know if you've found yourself longing for a revival, right? A revival in your own life, revival in the church, revival in our nation, right? And I think sometimes, you know, when we look around and it seems like everything crumbling around us, right? All the difficulties that we see, you know, it seems like people are losing a sight of faithfulness, of holiness, just basic tenets of justice. And when we see that, I think sometimes we're left wondering, God, when are you going to fix it, right? You're just waiting on God. Okay, God, we're ready. Okay, do something. Okay, well, you see it like we do, God. When are you going to fix it? When will there be a revival? Whether it's in our own spiritual life, or in the lives of our family, or our congregation, or in our nation, we're always, you know, God, when are you going to do something, right? And I want you to consider, as we look at this text here for just a moment, I want to challenge you to consider that maybe revival is not happening yet in your area of concern because you haven't done anything about it, right? So in Ezekiel 22, the Lord's going to send a very graphic warning to the people of Jerusalem, right? Serious judgment is coming. Context of the chapter here, and by the way, it's going to be the Babylonians, right? And the Babylonians, over about a 20-year period, came and had basically three mass deportations to Babylon. And it was during the second one that Ezekiel was taken. So here's Ezekiel in Babylon. Now, Jerusalem's still standing. And so when he's saying what he's saying here, he's in captivity, but Jerusalem, it's still standing. And so here in chapter 22, God kind of, he starts off with a crime sheet, if you will, a charge sheet, right? Here's what you're doing wrong to the remaining folks there in Judah and Jerusalem. You know, that they have oppressed the poor and the needy. They're robbing people. They're doing all kinds of things wrong. And so then you get to in verse 3, he's declaring all of their abominations. But in verse 31, therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Right? So they were absolutely in need of revival. Now, the verse between the charges at the beginning and then you get to 31, I want you to look at verse 30 real quick. And this is really worth thinking about. Right? This is God saying here, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Right? So no doubt there were those who were suffering, right, from the Babylonian invasion, all these things, you know, and there would have been a lot of people who would have been thinking, all right, God, where are you, right? You know, where is God in all of this? You know, God, why haven't you stopped our enemies? God, why haven't you fixed this problem? You know, what are you waiting for? We need a revival, right? But verse 30 is the answer. So God was looking for someone, basically man enough to stand up, to rise up, and to be an advocate for the land before him. Right? He was waiting for someone to show the courage of conviction to lead the people in the paths of righteousness, to get up and lead a revival. Right? God's looking for another Moses, Abraham, and Noah, right? Who would have that kind of faith to lead folks. And sadly, we see here no one arose, stand in the gap, and Jerusalem continued to suffer punishment for sin. So if you see the need for revival, right, don't get caught up in just sitting around merely asking, all right, God, when are you going to do it? Right, when are you going to intervene and bring about this revival when God is saying, I want you to lead the revival, right? Revival in your own life, spiritually, in your family, in the church, and beyond. So, God may be ready to move if only someone would stand up in the gap and lead with conviction. So the question is that someone you? So this evening, if that is you spiritually, the Lord's invitation is this. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, let's take care of that. Right? You can't end well if you don't begin well. You got to start where God wants you to start. You need to put on Christ in baptism. That's the call of the New Testament. If you've done that, but along the way you lost your way, and it's time for revival, and you know it's time for revival, let's use this opportunity. What a great thought to think we could all leave this assembly this evening reconciled to God. So if we can help you in any way, be reconciled to God wherever you're at, would you let someone know as we stand, as we sing?